Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own businesses. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Buddy, David. How's the new boat?
It's awesome.
I wish I could have went out on Sunday with you.
Yeah, we took it out both days, Saturday, Sunday. It's chilly. Right,
it's cold as fuck out right now.
You're not getting in the water.
No.
And you're in jeans and a hoodie when you're on the boat.
Yeah,
but
that's fishing weather.
Yeah. It's there was a fishing tournament going on Saturday.
There usually is. I think it's the Blue Springs, they call it something, Blue Springs Fishing Group or something like that. And they have one Saturday on Blue Springs and then usually Sundays on Jacomo.
Yeah.
Because there's motor restrictions on Jacomo.
Yeah.
So it's kind of split into two different groups, but
yeah,
it's fun. It's just a cash. They just do like a little cash game basically.
Yeah. Yeah. They look like they were having fun. We wanted to occupy some time on the boat ramp, because I've never driven an inboard boat prior or inboard motor boat prior to this one. And they drive very difficult.
Especially one with a prop that far forward.
Yeah. They park. They park odd, they trailer odd, like you lose all steering under like 3 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And so,
I could just imagine you out there like this.
We
and the boat's just like not
it
moving.
It just goes straight.
Like Jack Sparrow over there.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so
that's good.
Like we knew all this going into it. And so it's like, yeah, all right, let's find some cold days where there's no traffic out there. Let's just park the trailer on the ramp for a while.
Yeah.
And we'll just trailer it and take it off and trailer it and take it off and we're just learning how to slow speed.
And,
like anybody can drive a boat at moderate speeds, but
yeah,
it's the slow speed docking and parking and trailering where the challenge comes in.
Yeah.
So,
and you don't want to be the jackass like on a busy Saturday that hits the boat dock and like fucks up everybody's day. Like you don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
Right.
And so
I've been that guy.
My visions for this whole thing was like, all right, I'm going to have to learn how to do this. I'm going to have to learn how to do all that. And it's like a little bit of stress on me, right? Well, my oldest, Mason, has like turned into the captain of the boat.
That's good. Like, give him something to do.
Yeah. So like Sunday.
Fantastic. Dad
Saturday,
can have a few soda pops.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't get a buoy.
Yeah.
If...
That's funny.
Boating under the influence of BUI, right? I can't get a buoy if
he's driving the boat.
Yeah. So,
does he have to take a test?
Yes. Okay. Anybody born after 1985 has to take a boater's.
Regardless of their age.
Yeah. But like you have to be, I think, 14 to drive a boat.
Yeah.
So
he's 14, right?
Yeah. He's 14.
So he just
turns
15.
14.
Yeah.
Turns 15 here in a couple of weeks. He gets his permit. His driving permit.
Oh my God, that's fucking scary as shit.
I can't wait.
Is he still looking at Mustangs or what?
I'm not going to hide the fact that he may have driven around the neighborhood a little bit already.
Dude, I let Layla drive the mule up and down our road.
Yeah.
I don't care. Get after it, girl.
Yep.
Like we have this stigma of, oh, you can't do this and you can't do that. Dude, kids used to drive on the farm in their farm trucks at like 8.
Well,
like, stop.
You got to remember that like all these rules and laws are for the general average of everybody. Like
I think you mean general average of stupidity that most people have.
You got to factor that in,
yeah.
Right? But like Mario Andretti, like,
yeah.
Do you think he needs to abide by speed limits? Like the guy's a race car driver, right?
I like where this is going. This
like,
is good.
Do you think, obviously he has to because those are the rules that are in place for everybody.
Yeah, but fuck all that.
But like in reality, he's skillful enough to drive at twice the posted speed limit and not crash into anybody.
This is like the DUI talk that I don't know if you and I have had this or not, but it's like everyone should have their own,
yeah,
tolerance,
their own
level
tolerance,
set.
Right.
Like I know that I can drink 10 beers and still drive better than 70-year-old blue hair cruising down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I still am more aware than her.
Yeah.
But then like you can't have 21-year-old what do you call her, Fat Amy? Fat Leslie.
No, Heavy Lisa.
Heavy Lisa. You can't have 21-year-old Heavy Lisa out there on a six-pack, you know, just fucking crashing into shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think there should be like a road course set up. You go there, and then they're like, okay.
Yeah, let's find your limit. Yeah, today let's limit find
your, and it's on your ID. It says this guy is
this
allowed to be
a 4.0 BAC yeah, limit.
He could drive to 0.15, and you're good.
Yeah.
I think that'd be hilarious.
That would be funny.
It would be funny. Speaking of the age thing, let's talk trade wins just for a minute. So we had a call with Zach McCall this morning.
Yeah.
Good kid. I don't know how old he is. He's got to be...
He's in his mid-20s. 20,
25, 26, yeah. Something like that. And he's talking about his dad. And he's like, oh, my dad's old. He's 49. And I was like, oh, dude, fuck off. I was like, I'm 42. And I told he just started laughing. I was like, God, man, come on. You're killing me, brother.
Yeah.
Or he said 48. And he goes, oh, wait, no, it's 49. I'm like, you think that 1 year makes any difference? Yeah. Like, dude, I feel so old right now.
Yeah. My youngest told me yesterday that I've got more salt in my hair than pepper. I'm like, listen, punk.
Yeah.
The door might be locked when you get back.
This salty listen. Hair can still whip your ass.
Listen, so. Punk, I will kick your ass. Yeah. Oh, my God.
He took two steps back as he said it. Yeah. Like he knew he was within.
Yeah, he was testing the limits. He was like, I'm testing this old man right now. It's funny that the guys are... I shouldn't say it's funny. Like, it's weird to me. I still think I'm that age. And I know I'm not. You know what I mean? But, like, when you're talking to them and all that stuff, like, they give you all this energy and you're like, yeah. But, and then they're like, oh, no, yeah, you're my dad's age.
Yeah.
Like, well, dude, you're killing me, brother.
Well, the cool part is I was telling Danielle about this. I think it was maybe after our Vegas event, about how awesome it is that how young most of the guys are.
And are kicking ass.
And they're kicking ass. And it's like, that's literally why we created this. Like, I was 38 years old when I started our business. And you don't have to be. You could start at 10 or 15 years sooner.
Yeah.
If there's programs in place like Tradewinds.
Yeah.
Like, we're literally creating guys that are going to outpace me at my current age.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's going to be badass.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah. And they're going to be like, hey, we're having this event now.
Yeah.
Or, hey, we're having a retreat for the company. Do you guys want to go? And I'm going to be like, fuck yeah, dude, you're paying. Like, I'll be there.
Yeah.
I will fly in. I will be there.
Yeah. It'll be cool when we get to come in town for shop tours and podcast guest spots and everything else. So
we should talk about that a little bit. Is Dan going to come in? Have you heard anything more from him?
Dan and George are both looking at.
Well, I know George is, and he is legitimately mad at me because he has messaged me a few times, and literally my response has been like, dude, whenever you want.
Yeah, that's what I've told him is like whenever. Just. But
I mean, in their defense, though, like we should have been like called them and been like, okay, hey,
when
this
like,
is when
let's put a date on the calendar.
Yeah, this is when we do it. The podcast is on Tuesday. Everyone that comes in town, is on the podcast. Like, and we will plan it. Like, that's our fault.
I should probably.
Like, we should have done that.
We have some of the guys are wanting to come in town to watch us do a pipe burst.
That'd be cool. Maybe we should do a little.
Well, we have a pipe burst for them coming guys. On. We have a pipe burst coming up on the books that's pretty awesome. Like, it goes under a driveway and under a road and all this stuff.
Oh, so it's going to be legit.
Yeah, so it's possible that we try to time it with that.
That'd be cool. So, yeah, if
they get to see how that works.
If you want to sign up and be a member of Tradewinds just to be on the podcast, you can.
Yeah.
Like, if you cancel after a month, it's fine. If you just want to come in, tour Mitch's shop, be on the podcast, and then cancel, it's fine.
Deuces.
Yeah, I'll take your $250. It's fine. Like, you know, no big deal.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's been going good. I love it. I love the guys. They have so much energy, man. They're just, they're like, fucking let's get it.
Yeah.
It does make me feel old, though, getting back to my original point. Like, it does make me feel a little old.
I don't feel like I feel right. Like, I feel like this is what I'm supposed to be doing at this age.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree with that. Like, we talked about it a little bit today. Like, when you, like, I don't feel like I'm working anymore.
Right.
You know, even though I'm putting in more hours than I ever did before, because it's what I love to do now.
Right.
Like, I found my place, but it's still, like, when I see them and they're young and full, I'm like, man, damn.
Yeah.
Like, damn, I got to get on that fucking TRT.
It's like the photo I posted in the group just a couple hours ago. It's a mouse contemplating swiping the cheese off of the mouse trap.
Oh, I saw that. It was
only
good.
Now he's wearing a helmet. And he's like, you know, getting ready to make another bad decision, but you're also trying to learn from last time that when it didn't work out very well.
I thought it was really good. My problem is I'm always like, well, wouldn't he have been dead the first time?
Wouldn't
he have like one arm, like he's missing his front leg? Right. Like, and there's not. And I'm like,
yeah.
Like, it just makes me question the whole thing, but it was good. Yeah. I like that. That's good.
It's business ownership in a nutshell. Like, this didn't work out last time. Let's try it again.
Yeah.
Helmet, squint. Yeah.
You write that check for marketing. That's Mitch. It was Mitch in marketing. Like, let's write another check. Here you go.
Yeah.
And then just like
you put close the safety
your eyes,
squint on and go.
Put your hand over your bee hole and you're just like, I'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm not bleeding when I'm done.
Well,
like, you know.
Have you ever been to a circus and you'll see someone just wipe out on a horse? They always get back on.
Yeah.
Because it's just like they train you like in the circus to like, you know, if you're going to be gun shy, then you're not going to get back on the horse. So you'll see a guy just take it or get like hoofed or something.
Yeah, and you just keep going.
Yeah,
and
I'm just
and
like,
then you deal with it
after.
You know
where that doesn't apply though? The guy that gets shot out of the cannon into the net. If he misses that net, he ain't getting back in that cannon.
It's the same thing for like musicians, like when they first start playing, like you're just told if you fuck up, keep going.
Yeah.
Like your initial reaction is to stop. And then like kind of pick it up. No, you just keep on rolling.
You ever watch the videos of the people that keep rolling and just keep fucking up?
Oh, yeah, it's like bad.
Just a fucking avalanche. Dude. Just they don't know where they're going. They're singing the same verse over and over.
Dude,
they've totally lost it.
There is nothing worse than playing a show. This happened to me one time. We're playing a show at, do you remember the name of the place? You're not going to know it. But it's like a heavy metal place. Well, they used to, like you would-
All-Star Bar?
No. It was off of I-35 and like 75th Street, kind of like where Georgetown Apartments and stuff is over there. Anyways, irregardless, it's not important. But you would sell tickets to these shows, and they'd put these little showcases together, and there'd be 8 bands, 10 bands, 15 bands, whatever. Well, they're mostly like hard rock and metal. Well, we were like, we'll do it. So we sold some, and we just went first, right? And I'm literally standing up there. This is when I was in the second band, so I was fronting the band. And like... we had to, so Johnny played with a little drum machine, right? That had preset toggles on it that was like, okay, the piano comes in here or this beat comes in here. We had to all be on that. And I lost track of where the fuck we were. And I look over at Mark, our bass player, and I mean, he could see the panic on my face that I was lost. Yeah. And he's like holding up signs. To get me back on. Yeah. And I mean, like right before the verse was supposed to start, like I came in.
Finally.
And like, dude, I was sweating so fucking profusely. I mean, I got on and I was on time and we started and the showcase went great, but it was like right out of the gate. I was like just panic stricken.
Oh, shit.
I was like, oh shit. And I mean, he could see it. He was like,
that's like, so like, my youngest Grant is like really, really smart. But he gets knocked out in the first round of the spelling bee on the simplest words every freaking year.
That anxiety takes over.
His anxiety takes over, and he's like...
you have to get past that.
Like,
yeah.
We have a running joke in our family because he got knocked out in the first round this year, too.
He is really smart, too.
Last year, he's standing up in front of the whole school, and they're like, spell goals. And he's like... G-U-L-L-S.
Oh, dude.
And they're
stop.
Like, no, goals. Definite.
Not goals. Do you remember goals?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you lose it?
Yeah. I'm not going to tell him that
inside,
story.
Inside joke for, we cannot talk about it on the show, but dude, that's all.
So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He that's gets so fucking
his good, anxiety man. Gets the best of him.
We're going to start. I have one more, like, real quick thing. So, Layla... they have a talent show every year.
Yep.
So she's been playing electric guitar and she's going to do the Star Spangled Banner, you know, so she had her like little tryout. So she made it. Proud dad moment.
She's going to go all Hendrix with it.
No, she's, I taught her a one string version. So she only has to stay on the B string and it's just all the way up and
all
down,
the way up and down.
And so she's playing like my Hughes and Kechner amp. And for anyone that like the distortion on it's insanity.
Yeah.
And I was so it sounds pretty dope. Like, I go in there and I set it up because the amp's heavy. Right. And I told, you know, you're not supposed to go in there with them and tilt it all up. And so she hits it and I was like, do you want it louder? And she's like, yeah, I turned it up. She's like, I was like, is that good? She's like, no, louder. I was like, I'm like max that motherfucker out. Yeah. I was like, okay, like, good luck. Love
is
you.
Is it like genting? Like, gum, gum,
oh yeah.
Gum.
Dude, it's awesome. That amp is awesome. I used to play live shows with it all the time. It's like just this little 30 watt.
Yeah.
Using Kechner is loud as fuck.
That's good.
But anyways, she made it. So proud dad moment for
Sweet
me.
Sweet deal.
Yep.
Yep.
What do you want to talk about today, buddy?
Today we're going to talk about flat rate.
Flat rate pricing?
Yeah, we're going to talk about all the things with flat rate. We're going to talk about flat rate versus time and material and how there's a right time for either.
Yeah,
and we're going to talk about like a lot of our listeners may be on time and material and not transitioned over to flat rate. So we can talk about how to migrate that over. And then we're going to talk about like why flat rate is. Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show. Where you want to be and why flat rate is where you want to get to, right?
Yeah, so you should be trying to get there.
Yeah.
If you're not, it's not like it's wrong, but like if you want to make the most profits.
Yeah.
And yeah. Make it easy for your guys to sell.
Yeah.
That's where you got to be.
Yep. So
go ahead.
So flat rate is essentially like society is cultured to buy off a flat rate already.
Yeah. It's the McDonald's talk.
It's
the Valvoline oil change talk.
Yeah. You go to Valvoline oil change or Jiffy Lube or anything like that. And they're going to give you the three different options for where you want your oil change. Do you want the economy oil change? Do you want the mid-level oil change? Do you want the high-end oil change? And then they're going to have a couple of adders for like, if your vehicle takes over 5 quarts of oil, then it's an extra X dollar a quart or something like that.
Yeah. $10, $11, something like that.
But essentially the price of the oil change doesn't change. Right. And notice how there's no times associated to those oil changes. Those times are, you've got
as fast as we can do it. Those are the times.
Right, right. You may get in and out in 20 minutes and spend $119 on an oil change, or it might be 2 hours.
Yeah, because they
and you still spent the same 119, right? And so nobody goes into like, let's just say that you pull in, there's nobody in there. You do the oil change and it's literally like 12 minutes and done. Right. Yeah. And that's happened. Like that's not an unrealistic number.
When you go during the day.
Yeah.
That happens because there's no one in
there. There's no one there. Right.
I still change my own oil, by the way, but
yeah,
it's because I love it.
Yeah.
I like it.
So let's say you do that. It's 12 minutes in and out and they charge it 119. They don't have customers going, you charged me $119 and you were only here for 12 minutes. Like I want a break. You know what I mean? The reason why is because the value proposition was clearly displayed up front. The value proposition was $119 in exchange for an oil change. No time associated with that, right?
Well, and let's be honest, like it's because people have become like just used to it, right?
Well,
it's one of those things that it's been that way for so long. So it didn't used to be that way.
Right.
Like you would go in and you get, oh, you had this car, it was X amount of dollars. But once those quick lube places started, you know, piling up and they were on every freaking corner, they realized, okay, we've got to just have flat rate pricing.
Like, yeah.
This is what it is. That's how it is. And now people are just accustomed to it.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. The service industry is like, what, 10 years behind probably?
I mean, yeah, it's
maybe more.
Yeah. And so like, let's use another example. You go to a restaurant and you get,
oh man,
you know, for $21.99, you can get their 9 ounce sirloin with two sides, right? Now they don't qualify that and say like, well, if we have Johnny on the line cooking, you know, Johnny's real slow. So it's probably going to be $29.99 if Johnny's cooking because he's real slow.
Yeah.
But if we have Mark back there on the line, you know, Mark's really fast. And so it might actually be less, right? Or another layer to the restaurant talk is like, I get a steak medium rare. And let's say I've got a psychotic guest with me that gets a steak well done.
Psychotic guest.
I would never do that, but let's say we do, right?
Yeah.
The steak is the same price.
Yeah.
Even though it took less fire to cook.
It took less fire to make the rare one.
Yeah. It took less natural gas. It took less time. It took less labor.
Yeah.
The opportunity cost was less. In other words, there's an opportunity cost when you have a well-done steak taking up place on a grill and you got all these other people that are trying to get their steaks cooked. Your well-done steak is literally cutting into the opportunity for them to get everyone else's done too. But restaurants don't do it that way. It's $21.99 for the steak and two sides. How do you like it cooked?
Yeah.
Right. And so like society is cultured to purchasing off of flat rate pricing.
I don't want to change subjects. Did you see what they're starting to do in Kansas City? And they're actually starting to do it all over the country. This is weird. So I saw a deal the other day. Wendy's is having flex pricing on their food.
Yeah. Demand-based pricing based off of the time you buy it.
Demand-based pricing. Mm-hmm. Now, they said it won't go up. It'll only go down for when they're out. But I guess there's a bunch of restaurants that are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And like when I first heard it, I thought it was really messed up. But then I'm like, well, they do that for happy hour to get people to come in before dinner.
They've been doing it
like, forever. So they've been doing that forever. But it's like this whole... Like, oh, well, they shouldn't do this and they shouldn't do that.
They're just formally doing it.
You're getting a deal. What are you bitching about?
Yeah.
Like, people are just, they're nuts, man.
Well, the value of a cheeseburger is different at 1:30 in the afternoon than it is at 5:30 in the evening.
Exactly.
And it's different at 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah. It's just a contradiction.
Who's eating cheeseburgers at 8:30?
I
mean, I would, but.
Dude, if I go to like a big breakfast, like if you were to call me and say, hey, let's go to Sandy's and get breakfast today. Like, I usually will get country fried steak and eggs.
Yeah.
Like it's lunch, like it's a brunch all
on one
plate.
Doesn't matter when I'm there.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. Country fried steak, baby. Mm, yeah. A couple sausages.
So.
Oh, delicious.
So society
I didn't eat breakfast this morning.
Society is cultured to flat rate pricing. Like another example of this is like you go to a commodities market. Commodities are things that you buy and sell where there's no service involved, right? So like anything on Amazon is a commodity. Even though there is service involved with how well they take care of your order and everything else.
Parts are a commodity.
Yeah, yeah. And so in the commodities world, you still have flat rate pricing. In other words, like using the Amazon example, the item that you're wanting to buy is $50 free shipping. Even though some people, they might be shipping it 7 blocks away from the Amazon distribution center.
And some people are
Seattle. Having to go 400 miles from the distribution center.
Yeah.
It's still free shipping.
Yeah.
Right. And so.
And the law of averages is what dictates that, right? Like, you know what I mean? Half of them are going to be far away. Half of them are going to be close. For them, it doesn't matter. We're building in $1.99 per item to ship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so
not to get into the weeds too much.
The logic there is Amazon's made it easy for a customer to buy because it's a fixed price for a fixed result. Restaurants have made it easy for a customer to buy because it's a fixed price for a fixed result. Same with Jiffy Lube.
Yep.
Same with anybody else on flat rate style pricing, menu style pricing.
Well, it's like when you go to Third Street Social, like you can get a ribeye for, I don't know what it is, $80, or you can get a sirloin for $25.
Right.
Like the sirloin is going to be just as good. Do you want to quote, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're allowed to pick at what price point you want.
Yeah.
And that's the good thing about flat rate pricing when you're in the service industry. You're allowing them a choice to be at what level they want to be at and spend the amount of money they're comfortable with and still be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's coupling flat rate pricing with providing options.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is what we teach in TradeWinds.
Yep.
Of course.
Yep.
Which is what everyone should be doing. Hello, wake up out there.
Right.
If you're not.
It's
not go into Susie Joe's house and say, okay, to fix that garbage disposal is this. And she's already been on the internet and realized there's a third, there's a half, there's a three quarter.
Right.
I could get a Badger or I could get a Moen. Like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, come on. She's already done her research. Don't be that guy.
Don't be the guy that gives her a one option.
Yeah. Don't be that guy. Because you know she's going to ask you questions.
Yep.
Like, oh, well, I saw this and I saw that. Now you look like a douche. You know, eyes wide open. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I was not prepared.
Right.
You got to be given options, guys.
Yeah.
Come on.
So time and material pricing.
Which there is a place for.
Yeah. Time and material pricing is essentially you're charging the customer for all of your time on site. And then you're marking up your material and charging the customer for all the material you used. And can you go wrong with time and material pricing? Technically, no. It's a good fail-safe method. However, it brings on its own host of problems.
Yeah, it's usually more questions.
Yeah, so here's where the problems come in with time and material pricing. Is with time and material pricing, it's virtually impossible to quote pricing before the work is done. Because you don't know how long it's going to take, and that will change the bill.
Well, and I mean, unless you're just a very seasoned vet. But even then, if you run into trouble...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now I have to charge you more because I ran into trouble, whether it was because of the home or your own fault for screwing something up.
Right.
Now that person is paying for something they didn't know in advance of.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep. And so what you end up with is you end up with customers questioning their bill from time to time because they're always going to question your skill level. Like it comes off as an attack on you.
Oh, of course it
like,
does.
Like, why weren't you faster? Why didn't you get this done sooner? Why did it take so long, right? And so it comes off as an attack on you on your skill level, but they're going to question the bill. They're going to always wonder, could somebody have gotten it done quicker and therefore my price been less, right? Yeah. The other thing that happens is it forces a conversation where the customer now sees your cost. And so what I mean by that on time and material pricing, you are telling
the
customer
them an hourly rate. Yeah.
Yeah. You're telling the customer it's this much per hour. It's this much for material. And it took me this many hours. And naturally our natural brain is, can we find it cheaper? Right. That's why Amazon allows you to sort from cheapest, you know, cost low to high. Right.
Yeah.
And I am not at the status where I price things from high to low. Right.
I do.
Yeah.
Well, just so, because I want to know what is the best and then I switch it back.
Yeah. I want to know where the extreme is.
Yeah.
Right.
So I do it immediately and then switch it back to lowest.
Yeah.
it's a pipe dream.
So now customers are questioning your value because they're not associating the fact that you've got years in the trade to get you there. They're not associating all of that. They're just literally saying, is this guy worth $200 an hour, $300 an hour, whatever he's charging? $125 an hour, you know, whatever the case may be, right?
And when you're flat rate pricing, you're obviously avoiding that because they don't know what your hourly rate is that you have plugged in. You're literally showing them their three bids on your tablet, and it's just, it doesn't say, there's no breakdown of parts and hourly and blah, blah, blah. It's just, if you want me to fix this water heater, it's $18.50 at this price point.
Right.
If you want me to change out this toilet, it's this price point. If you want me to rebuild a toilet, it's this price point. And they can literally just pick one and go with it.
Yeah.
And so they're not, like, their immediate response is not, oh, well, I don't want to pay this guy $200 an hour. But it, in your flat rate pricing, what are you at? $450? $7,000? I don't know what you're...
Doesn't matter.
But they don't know that. That's what I'm... That's my point.
Right.
Is they don't know that.
Well, and...
But
and,
when they can see $150, they don't realize that you're actually way above $150 on your flat rate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So well, that's... Like, those are just hidden.
Imagine if you pulled into Jiffy Lube and they told you they were $595 an hour. Would you get your oil change there?
No.
Okay. Well, Jiffy Lube's $595 an hour.
But they
price it in flat rate and they get your $119 oil change done
in 15
in 12 minutes.
Or they base it off of 12 minutes.
And so then they can do five of them an hour.
Yeah.
And $119 times five is $595 an hour.
Yeah.
Right.
Same thing.
And so
that's where I was going with that. Excellent point.
Right. And so that's why you don't present your pricing. That's why it's not good in the residential market, especially to present your pricing in a time and material basis, because nobody would buy from Jiffy Lube if they learned that they were $5.95 an hour. It just wouldn't happen.
No.
But people will spend $119 on an oil change every day of the week. And if it gets done in 6 minutes, great. 12, great. If it takes a full hour, they don't care because it was still fixed price for fixed results.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
So here's where the big conundrum with time and material versus flat rate comes in.
Did you just say conundrum?
Conundrum.
I haven't heard conundrum in a while.
Conundrum.
He introduces a new one every once in a while.
He does. Wah. He does. He's got the word a day toilet paper, I think. And he's in there just reading words.
I got to work into a conversation.
Yeah. What's that? Impractical Jokers where they're in your ear and you gotta find a way to say this word. Conundrum.
Dude, my
favorite one is the bingo. They have him shout bingo when he does it.
Yeah, that's good.
So here's where time and material pricing comes back to bite you in the ass as a business owner. Let's say you have two guys on your team. One guy is new, one guy is not new. One guy has little experience. One guy has tons of experience. Well, experience equals speed. Experience also equals compensation, right? So you've got Johnny Greenhorn over here. And
Johnny Greenhorn, that's good as fuck.
He's full of piss and vinegar. He's got 3.5 years in the trade. He's excited.
Getting it, bro. He is getting it.
Right? His knees work. His back works. His gut's not beyond his belt yet. And
dude, that's so good.
He's just ready to go, right? So now he goes into a job, and because he's lacking experience, he's got enough to get himself in trouble, but because he's lacking experience, it takes him 5.5 hours to put in a water heater. Okay. And
he's moving so fast that he misses things.
Well,
guys are my favorite.
He's got the energy. So he's one at a time tripping to the truck. He's not, making efficient use of his stuff.
His stuff. That's good.
He's also not,
I love you, man.
He's also not that great at his truck organization yet. And
nah,
so
he don't know where nothing's at.
Disorganized. And
takes
so
him 45
that's
minutes
slowing
to find
him down.
Something.
Right.
Yeah.
But then you got old Clark over here that's just steady Eddie. He's been doing this for 20 plus years, and he's got systems. He's got his truck organized. He knows how to do stuff fast.
Yeah, he knows that when I walk in here, I'm going to need X, Y, and Z, and so he takes that in a bucket.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have to walk up those stairs 15 times
because
I'm old and fat and slow.
Well, and he knows to turn the water off before you cut into a water line.
Fucking been there.
Whereas...
I've
Whereas
done that.
Johnny Greenhorn, he's so excited, he goes in there and cuts the water line.
Yeah.
And then he's like,
oh, shit.
Scrambling, and then he has to go shut the water off, and now he's got to spend an extra 20 minutes cleaning up water and, all that stuff, right?
I love it. I love where you're going with this.
So what you have is both guys are putting in a water heater, but one guy does it in 5.5 hours, and one guy does it in 2.5 hours.
Yep.
Okay? So one guy did it 3 hours faster than another guy. Well, if you're on time and material pricing... You totally just fucked yourself.
Well, the dipshit got paid more to fuck it up.
So in both aspects, you screwed yourself. So in other words, your Johnny Greenhorn guy is making less money per hour, but he was encouraged to make that job take longer because the longer it takes, the more money he made on that job.
Yep.
Right. And your customer's bill went up because you had a greenhorn on the job.
Yep.
Whereas you got, what I call the other guy?
Harold?
Clark. So
Clark.
Where you got,
took
you
me
got
a
Clark.
Second. I knew it was in there.
You got Clark, the 20-year veteran, and here he is in and out in 3.5 hours, 2.5 hours.
Yeah, he made less money.
And Clark, even though he's making more per hour, he only got paid for 2.5 hours of work instead of 5.5. So he was disincentivized to be speedy.
To be a badass.
And your bill to the customer is now significantly less simply because you had an experienced guy on the job that you're paying more for.
Yeah.
Right?
It's ridiculous.
And so flat rate pricing answers all of those questions. Time and material pricing puts you into all of those problems. Flat rate pricing is the answer. And the reason it's the answer is because now a water heater's price is not based on 2.5 hours or 5.5 hours. It's based on fixed price for fixed value. The fixed value is you get a water heater installed and it's working and it has warranty when we're done.
Yeah.
Regardless of how long it takes.
Well, regardless of the problems that I did not see were impossible to foresee.
Yeah. Some
regardless,
of that,
we'll get into it the same.
We'll get into the problems here in a minute because that should probably be a whole separate conversation just for the
that's
problem.
Where I was going with it. Okay,
but let's say it's relatively problem free.
Yeah,
right. But you got Johnny Greenhorn cutting water lines without turning the water off. He's got an improperly stocked truck. He's doing all the things that slow him down. And then you got Clark. Who's
I love that you picked Clark from the Griswold.
It's an old guy's name.
Yeah,
yeah.
You are Clark, by the way.
Probably
you know that. Right?
I am Clark W. Griswold.
You are Clark W. Griswold.
I just need
Griswold.
A family truckster. Four times the headlights, eight times the headaches. maybe it's eight times the wood grain. I don't know. This is
why we got to have these during the day. You're in rare form.
I'm in rare form.
During the day.
I got
rare
more
form.
Energy.
We
right
both
now.
Have energy. Yeah. It's maybe we'll start.
I haven't
start
been beat to death
that.
By the day yet.
Oh, I thought you were going to say your wife, but
well,
continue.
That too. That's the day.
That is the day.
So
she's awake.
So the answer to all of those problems is flat rate pricing, fixed price for fixed value. So, I'm just going to pull numbers out of my ass here because I don't really have anything else to go off of. Let's say you were $200 an hour
Don't need my calculator.
Clark got the water heater done in 2.5 hours. So it's a $500 bill for labor, right?
Okay.
And then you got Johnny Greenhorn. It took 5.5 hours to get the job done. And so now the bill's $1,100.
Yep.
Right. So,
yes.
Ultimately, here's where flat rate pricing is the big accelerator. If you are fast and you are good at what you do, you need to be on flat rate pricing.
Well,
and
you make more money.
the customer that had Johnny Greenhorn put in the water heater isn't griping about the price. They're not griping at all. They're happy with the price.
Yeah.
Right? They understand, like, they don't know how long it should take. They understand a water heater's worth that. And so basically you price it off of what it would take the slow guy to do. You build that into your flat rate pricing, and then you go send your fast guy on the job, and it, because it's fixed price for fixed value.
Yep.
The value is you get a water heater in that works and has warranty, and we haul off the old one, and you're showering in steaming water tonight. That's great. And pay up.
Yeah.
You know, it just is what it is.
It's that simple.
And so that is why flat rate pricing makes more sense, is it levels out the cost to your customers. Like, imagine if you were on time and material and those two scenarios happened at neighbors' houses.
Oh, you're a piece of shit.
And then one neighbor's, yeah, one neighbor's talking to the other. Well, I had Schmedley out and they charged me $900 for a water heater. Well, I had Schmedley out and they charged me $1,900 for a water heater. Yeah. Why? Well, I had, you know, Johnny Greenhorn and I had Clark.
Fucking Clark.
Right. So,
but yeah,
but ultimately the value is set by the higher price because that's what the customers are willing to pay. So you run with that and then you excel when you send your fast guy.
Well, you excel when you have great plumbers.
Yeah.
Or HVAC techs or what. This is regardless of trade.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
everyone should be on flat rate pricing.
Yeah.
Everyone should be.
Yeah. The other side of it too is once you transition over to flat rate, now it becomes a game of efficiency. Now it becomes a game of how well stocked is your truck? How well prepared are you for the job? How well trained are you? Because the company's only making X amount of dollars on this task. So now it's how efficiently and how accurately can we achieve that task? Because accuracy matters too.
Well, so that you can get more tasks done.
Yes.
That's why.
Or so you can get the exact same amount of tasks done. Like, this is what I love about flat rate pricing.
Consistency.
Let's say I take two of my guys and send them on an 8-hour job. And Johnny Greenhorn is slow, so it takes him 12 and a half hours. But then Clark is fast, and he gets done in 5 hours.
Say Clark.
Right?
Yeah.
So now the objective today was each of you complete your 8-hour jobs.
Yeah.
Right?
And now Clark's
however, Johnny Greenhorn is spending less time at home with his family because he's slow. Whereas Clark is now incentivized. I'm getting paid the 8 hours, whether I get done in 8, 12, or 5.
Yeah. The job I bid pays me 4 task hour pay.
Yeah.
And I got the job done in 2 hours.
Yeah. So
or
now,
whatever it is.
So now Clark is getting to spend more time at home with his family and make the exact same amount of money.
Or,
and he's incentivized to do it that way. Or
makes,
he can,
gets another call in and makes more money because he doesn't have he's not a family man. He's a young guy that's going out and trying, like, he can literally dictate how successful he wants to be on any given day, any given week, whatever.
Yeah, that's, you know, maybe kids got braces coming up or something else, and now he's got to pay for them, so he's willing to take extra
calls. I
got to
work some more calls.
Right.
Yeah, Mitch, hey, I know I'm done. I know it's past. Did any more calls come in?
Right.
You know, whatever.
Right.
Can I take those? You know, and allows them to, I mean, literally they can up their money made by 20% in any
sometimes
given week.
Sometimes more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just by being efficient and getting that stuff done.
Yeah.
But like you were saying, as far as efficiency goes, like, it lands on them. How stocked is my truck?
Right.
How organized am I? How well did I walk into the house, meet the customer, go down there and look, and then realize this is what it's going to take, and then was well prepared when I walked down there and started the job?
Right.
Like, it, and not only that, so Johnny Greenhorn now sees, like, the guys talk, right?
Yep.
Oh, hey, I got paid for this and it took me 2 hours. And he's like, oh shit, it took me 4.5.
Yeah.
I better get better.
Yeah.
And that only benefits the company, that benefits him. I mean, like, it benefits everyone.
Right.
For them to then see that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And if you're on time and material, that just doesn't happen. That natural competition level is not allowed to happen.
Yeah.
It just isn't.
Yeah. Now, you will get, being on time and material, like, customers are always going to complain about the price.
Always, that regardless of what you're on.
It doesn't matter what you charge either. We've talked about this on the show. When we opened, we were charging $13.50 for a water heater, and customers were like, damn, that's expensive. Go ahead.
Yeah.
And now,
what's
now
your minimum? $18.50?
Our minimum water heater is closer to $2,000.
Yeah.
And customers give us the exact same response. Damn, that's expensive. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're just, that it's just they're built to complain about price, right?
We all are. Let's be honest. We all do it. I mean, I do it.
It's kind of like somebody on one of the local community pages was like trying to throw a thing out there about how, you know, we have to do something about these gas prices. They're just getting crazy, and I'm going to have to come up with alternatives because I just can't afford this gas. And I'm like thinking in my head, I'm like, what are you going to do? Not buy gas? Like not go to work?
You're going to get an EV, Mitch.
Well, maybe.
Okay.
Right.
Oh,
maybe. Oh. I don't know. Like, hey, they don't make sense for everybody. But what I'm saying is like there are some things in life where you just have to pay the price and you can't bitch about it because bitching about it ain't going to change the price.
Oh man, I don't want to go down a rabbit hole here.
Well, I mean, you could get political. You could get crazy political and try to say it matters who you vote for, and we got to change the whole culture and get them to vote for the right guy to get lower gas prices and all that stuff. But that's taking a problem and making it somebody else's problem, right?
Well, and it's true, but like to your point, really, like don't bitch about it. If you want to see change, it doesn't matter what it is. Like, put yourself out there and try to make change happen. What you were saying, just bitching about it doesn't get that shit done.
Right.
Like just complaining does not help.
Well, in the moment you're complaining about like the price of gas, you're
filling up your 100-gallon tank in your big boat.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying
mine's like, got a 50.
The moment you're complaining about the price of gas, it indicates that you're not charging enough. You're not earning enough. Let's say you're an employee. You're not even on your own yet. Right.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Let's say you're an employee and you make fixed wages and everything else. It's no different than a business. Like everyone likes to act like business owners have it all great because this kind of goes in line with the fixed income thing. I'm on a fixed income. Austin, are you on a fixed income?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like these elderly people, and I'm not knocking
careful.
I'm not knocking them, but what I'm saying is like, They try to say like they need extra assistance because they're on a fixed income. We're all on a fixed income. My salary is my salary. So what do? I put in work to change my salary, right? Austin's salary is Austin's salary.
Well,
so what's he do? He puts in work to make more money.
Well, there's two different types. There's two ways to view that. There's two fixed incomes. The regular people's fixed income that they can change because they can work.
Yeah.
My 95-year-old grandmother cannot go out and work. You know what I mean? So
true.
So there's two different fixed incomes. Where you're going with that, and like, I have an aunt that literally, she's like on Social Security. She could literally be working.
Yeah.
Like in making, you know, going out and working like two nights a week.
Yeah.
One day a week, whatever. Just sit there and bitch that, oh, Social Security is not enough. Well, you know, maybe get off your fucking ass.
Yeah.
Like go work. Just like find one little thing to do. Like we talk about this on the show all the time. Like, you cannot just sit around and do nothing. Like,
right.
There is something to be said for being a member of society unless you physically cannot.
Right.
You know what I mean? You feel better. You act better. You make a little bit extra money. Like, you are a productive member of society.
Yeah.
And, like, that's good for you.
And I don't want to slight the elderly, right? But at the same token...
And I'm not. You know what I mean?
Like, think about it like this. Like, I didn't save enough money. I didn't earn enough money in life. I spent too much money. So now that I'm beyond my working years, I'm capped on my income. And so now you owe me a discount because I didn't financially prepare for the future.
Yeah.
Like,
which drives me insane.
I mean, I'm a very analytical person. I'm a very black and white person on some subjects. And that's one subject where it's kind of part of me, whenever I get that price objection, I'm like, tough shit. Like, why should I take it in the shorts because you didn't prepare for proper finances at retirement age?
I agree with you.
And obviously you could never say that.
99% of the way, I agree with you.
Yeah. 100%. Like you could never say that, 99%. But realistically that's where it is. And yes, there's always outliers, but you don't make rules around the outliers, right? There's people that
you can't make rules around the outliers because then you'd fail.
Yeah.
Like, it's impossible. You can't fucking do it.
And so...
Dang it. Two F's today. I've been doing so good too.
The flat rate pricing side even helps with all of that because it's fixed price for fixed results.
Yeah.
It limits your discounts. And if you're in the service world, like you should be discounting very, very little, if not at all, because the moment you discount, anything, you're telling the customer the true value of that item. If you normally sell water heaters for $2,000, but you got them on special for $500 off this month, literally the moment you offer that special, you're telling everybody, hey, we usually screw you out of this $500, but now you can actually get the water heater at the true value of it.
Well, and like if you do things like that, just a tip, say, hey, the supply house had an overstock and I got these cheaper. Like you have to, you know what I mean? Like yeah. You got to be sly with stuff like that if you are going to do it. And I know that's not what we're talking about, but
right.
Like don't be an idiot.
Right.
Like don't shoot yourself in the foot. Because just like you were saying earlier, when one neighbor gets this and the other neighbor gets that, well, that could be a water heater 6 months down the road.
Yeah.
2 months down the road. Oh, Smedley came out even at flat rate pricing.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to be careful about when you do run discounts and things like that, you have to quantify it by this is why
and
it's going to be cheaper.
And I'll be honest with you. Most of the people listening to this show are not getting volume pricing. I don't even get volume. I get a slight break with my account, but well, I don't even get true volume pricing.
Well, okay. For plumbing. Yes. So like the HVAC world, that is a real thing. Like I almost dropped names from people in Kansas City, but like
it's a real thing in plumbing too.
Like they're getting on a system. There are companies in Kansas City that get $1,000 off because they sell so much on a system.
Yeah,
and I used to just tell people that they'd have other people in or salesmen or whatever and be like, oh well, they said it was $1,000 less, and I just tell them, be like, look, I don't do a lot of work. They get volume pricing.
Yeah,
I said the amount of money that I make is the same that they're making.
Yep,
like hourly wise or what I'm putting in my pocket. Sorry. Like that's why I'm more expensive.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it for less. We're making the same money. The price costs you less because they get cheaper equipment.
Yeah.
And I would just tell them that. And to be honest, 70% of the time, those people were calling me because they don't like sleazeball Jerry that just showed up at their house, you know, wearing a suit, driving a Ferrari, you know, thing. You know what I mean? Like they just don't.
Sleazeball Jerry. I like
it. Sleazeball Jerry.
Like they don't like
sounds
those.
More like greaseball Jerry.
Yeah, it could be greaseball Jerry. You know, I mean, but you have to. If you're going to give discounts, like you have to quantify it.
Yeah.
Sorry. So, I didn't mean to get you off track.
Well, like on the volume pricing thing. So we had an invoice, you know, our guys go buy stuff from the supply houses, put it on our account, turn in their receipts. And then internally we match the receipts to the bills from the supply house. So we found an invoice where they billed the wrong company. We bought items, but they put it on another large company in Kansas City's account.
Good.
And so, well, we're honest. We're ethical. We call them up and we say, hey, we've noticed a bill. It was $600 in parts, by the way. And we noticed a bill that was billed to another company. And so we wanted to make you aware of that so you can get it billed to us and all this stuff. So they bill it to us. The bill turned from $600 to $800.
Yeah.
So
the
bill we got
thing.
Was a volume priced bill, right? And so then it's like, hey, hold on.
Yeah.
Now...
Yeah.
Now, like, they literally showed us.
Like, and that's the problem, too. Like, they should have known. They should have been like, hey, whoa. Let's just put it at six.
Yeah.
Let's eat this money.
Eat it.
And we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And then move on. But instead, somebody in the thing was like, oh, I'm going to be a dick.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, dude, what are you doing?
And
man?
So now what it's done is it's opened up a whole pricing conversation with the vendor.
Yeah.
For one, that's a, like, I
Can
was
I
honest.
Ask you who it was?
Who the vendor was?
No, the other company.
The other company was AB May.
Okay.
So
well, of course they
they're among the largest.
They're fucking humongous.
Yeah.
they're doing 20 times your business probably.
More than that.
I'm just.
They're probably 40 times
you
the size
you think they're
we
that
are.
Big?
Yeah.
Well, 40 times. You think they're doing 50 mil a year?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, they're probably doing 50 mil.
I hate AB May too.
Yeah. So.
Losers.
They. So yeah, then it comes into this conversation of like, hold on. For one. We notified you of the error.
Yeah.
You like, could at least asked to spend the extra 600.
Yeah.
Don't rub salt in the wound by taking 600. Like, don't penalize us by making 600 turn to 800.
Cause next time I'm not calling.
Yeah.
Like I'm just,
If this is how this is going to be, then we're just going to let this play out naturally. Right.
Yeah.
It already technically cost me 600 to bring up the error. Don't make it cost an extra two.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, now that we see the scope of the volume pricing, let's have a volume pricing conversation.
Yeah.
Because holy shit, if I could save 25% on all of my material cost, hell yeah. Let's do that.
They just order all in
bulk? No, it's not about the bulk.
Oh,
it's
the
just
volume.
About the overall volume throughout the year because they're 50 times our size.
Yeah. So, sounds like you're getting a break in your pricing. coming up.
It's an active ongoing conversation, yeah. Right?
I mean, you're not, even if you're not going to get what they're getting,
yeah,
like you're going to get a break.
Yeah.
You know?
So one of the other things, we got two more things that I want to talk about. One is, how do you handle outliers when you're on flat rate? And then the last is going to be, how do you transition over to flat rate? So handling outliers on flat rate, you will get into situations where it's like, okay, you have a leak in the wall. I need to cut into the wall and find this leak. And you have a flat rate price for repairing the leak, right? Well, now you get into the wall and realize that, holy shit, this is nothing that anybody could have anticipated. It's totally wildly different. And the flat rate price you quoted won't cover it. That's at the moment right there where you stop and you go back to the customer and you revisit the pricing conversation.
Well,
right?
And that's the conversation. Like, you need to have a conversation before you start that job too. Like,
yeah.
And that's on you of, hey, once we, like, I'm giving you this price, but once I cut this wall open, like if something crazy happens, I'm going to be coming back to you.
Yeah.
With realistic pricing at that point.
Yeah.
And some people will balk at that and say, no, you know, I want this, blah, blah, blah. That's not your customer. You don't want to mess with that anyway.
Well, and you just tell them flat out, like, I'm not a fortune teller, and yeah, tell the wall, like, so in that case, what you would do then is you would just charge the customer an access fee. So then it's going to be like, it's going to be $150 for me to cut into the wall to get you a repair price.
Yeah.
If you're wanting it that way. Right.
Yeah. 100%. Another
prime example, an easier one to understand is let's say your sewer line goes out the house and your sewer line is collapsed 8 feet out the house and it's 8 feet deep.
Yeah.
But then there's another 40 feet of line
that you have no idea what's going on with it.
You have no idea as to the condition of it.
Does it drop 20 feet?
And then you go lift a manhole and the main's 20 feet deep.
God, that, I hate that shit.
Right? So there is a case right there where you would give them flat rate pricing for the sewer repair.
To that point.
You would put parameters on it.
Yeah.
You would say, like, replacing up to 3 feet of piping up to 9 feet deep or something like that.
Yeah. In this area that we have marked out in your yard.
Yeah.
If we do that and camera it, like, it's weird that it's a litigious society. Like, I don't like it, you know, but you literally have to write on that stuff, hey, once we do this and camera it again, you may be liable for more repairs.
Yeah.
Like, that stuff has to be in wording.
Yeah.
They have to see it.
Well, and ultimately, if you bookend and put boundaries around your quote, then it is what it is, right? Like, let's say you fix the collapse at 8 feet, and then you find another one that's 15 feet deep and 30 feet down the line. Well,
now that,
Mr.
Now
Customer,
the conversation
you still
is,
have to pay me for what I've done because we fixed what we knew was the problem. Now, now we know there are more problems. This was unavailable information previously.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, it's not your fault that,
God, no,
their old clay sewer is shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I think a lot of guys kind of get into that when they've replaced a part and then they feel bad.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They're like, oh man, I should have taken care of them, or I wanted to have had this 100% fixed for them at this point, and then they start taking money off.
Right.
Or they start saying, okay, we'll just dig that up for, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And that ends up just costing you a ton of money.
Yeah.
When if you were prepared at the initial sale of, hey, where this could possibly go. And let's be honest, like, that's an experience thing, right? Like, until you've been in the field for 10 years and have seen that fucking shit literally play out.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to quantify how you're going to speak to that customer at the beginning of that sale.
Yeah.
Right.
I've only been bitten in the ass once on a sewer job like that. A line was collapsed just outside the house. It ran underneath a wrought iron fence. Ugh. And then the city main was crazy deep. Right.
Yeah. Well, like, it just dropped off nowhere.
Yeah. And so we couldn't see anything on camera. It was all full of sewage and it was collapsed. And so basically, and we were like 4 feet from the fence. And the city manhole's like 80 feet on the other side of the fence. Ugh. And so basically I gave them a price to dig from the collapse to the fence. And here's your price. So I was using the fence as a boundary or a bookmark. Well, little did I know that at the collapse, the line 90'd straight down and went 22 feet deep.
Oh, so that thing just settled the F down.
Yeah. Everything just settled and collapsed
but
vertically.
But you had said, to the fence.
To
and
the
so
fence.
You are on it.
Right.
You're fucked.
And so, again, we live and learn. And so from that day forward, like, we had to eat on that one. We had to eat it and
but
fix
now you're
it.
Giving a depth on
but
on
now
too.
We're putting, like, this price is valid up for repairs up to X amount of feet deep.
Yeah, 10 feet deep, whatever.
Or whatever, right? Yeah. Because now you've got to provide, you know, lateral boundaries side to side, but you also have to provide depth when you're talking about excavations, especially in collapsed lines. So,
and you just never know, like, especially in our metro area, there's so many different jurisdictions. You never know what's going on.
Right.
Like, there's no consistency from one to the other.
No.
You could be out here in Grand Valley and it's only 6 foot deep for 60 feet. You know what I mean? Coming out of a slab home, and then you could go into downtown KC where it's 45 feet deep because, like you said, someone put a 90 on it and just went straight down to the manhole.
Yeah.
Or straight down to the main.
Other areas where this can be a concern, like, this is a real thing that's happened in our history, my history, not in our company. This actually happened at a previous company. But I was managing the department there. We coached everybody to do options and all of this stuff. All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show. And so I have a technician that goes into a home and they need a toilet rebuild. And so we give them options, like, we can just do the flapper, we can do the flapper and the fill valve, or we can do the flapper, the fill valve, the supply line, and the supply stop. We're letting the customer buy it, whatever they feel comfortable with, right?
Yeah.
And so we go, they choose to do the flapper and the fill valve and not replace the supply stop. And so we go to turn the stop off, and when we go to turn the stop off, the stop breaks and floods their fucking house.
Damn.
I mean, floods the fuck out of their house. Like, they had lights coming out, or they had water coming out of the can lights in the floor below. And they actually took us to court over this thing. They were trying to say that we were responsible for flooding their house. And we ended up winning the court case. This is the only time I've ever been to court.
I've been a bunch of times.
We ended up winning the court case and I've been for, like, traffic infractions.
Just kidding, man. Come on.
Every guy has done traffic court.
No
comment.
we end up winning the court case, and, like, they foolishly brought the supply stop to the court case, which was awesome. And then, like, their insurance agent called me and they were like, look, you guys are a big company. Why don't you just eat this one? And I'm like, you're State Farm Insurance.
Yeah.
Why don't you just eat this one?
Yeah. You're humongous.
And they're like, well, it's $2,900 in damage and their deductible is $2,500. And I'm like, why does my liability change based off of what they chose for a deductible? Like, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Right. And if we're only talking $400 or $500 difference between their deductible and covering the whole thing, why don't you cover the whole thing? Well, it just doesn't work like that. Exactly.
Yeah. You can kiss my ass. Right? I guess I won't ever use State Farm for anything.
Well, this is their agent. This isn't their claims department, right?
Doesn't matter.
So we go to court and basically they do the whole thing, and, you know, they got up there, they broke the supply stop, flooded our house, and it's all their fault. And then I'm just standing there waiting patiently and quietly. And finally the judge says, okay, what do you have to say? And I'm like, we gave them three options. One was a minor option. One was a moderate option. And one included replacing that supply stop that broke. They chose not to use that option. And so now, since they're not replacing the supply stop, we're using the supply stop. And in the course of us trying to turn the thing off, it snapped and flooded their house. That does not make it our fault. And, like, the next person who would have tried to turn off that supply stop.
Yeah, they were flooding that house.
If Johnny homeowner over here had chosen that, across the courtroom,
you would have shut the main water off, drained it down,
right?
And then replaced it.
He goes, I said, if he would have gotten ballsy and gotten on YouTube and tried to do this himself, I just turn the stop off, cool. And he turns the stop off and it snaps. It still floods his house. It doesn't make it his fault. It's a faulty valve. And he owns the house.
Yeah.
So therefore, he owns the problem.
He owns the valve.
Right.
Yeah. And, that's good.
And look, so the judge was like, you know what? He's spot on. And you had an option to replace the valve. They gave you an option to replace the valve and you said no. Right. So this were options actually won in court.
Which is, by the way, why you give the options.
Right.
Like, hello.
Right.
You could have done it.
Yeah. And because they declined replacing the valve, now we're using the valve, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, one could say, well, you still got to shut it off at the main just in case that valve doesn't work.
No, you don't.
What's
the fucking point of putting them in there?
Let's just run with that adage for a second.
Stop.
What if I go to turn the main valve off and that valve breaks and floods their house? And we weren't even talking main valves. We were here to rebuild a toilet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so
that's
if a valve is in place, it's intended to be used. And if it breaks during the course of normal use, that's not the plumber's fault. Right. That's the.
No, no. And I'm usually on the side of the homeowner.
Yeah.
But no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
And so we ended up winning that court case. And of course, they hate us forever and everything else. Ironically, it's somebody we went to high school with. So I'll tell you who it is after the show. But
there you go. Just write that down. I don't want you to forget.
remember the guy that would direct traffic as we were leaving school?
No, come on.
The heavyset old guy that would circle his finger around and tell you to leave the parking lot, and then everyone would slam on the gas and fishtail out of the parking lot?
No, I don't.
Started with an H. I cannot remember his last name.
Did his daughter go to school with us?
Yes.
Had the colostomy bag?
Hodges.
Yes. Okay.
It was his daughter.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it an actual police officer? Or
he was a teacher.
Was it her husband that was the D, though?
Her husband was the guy in court.
Yeah. He was being the douche about it.
Yeah. I mean,
she was always really nice.
Let's be honest. I can't fault them for taking us to court. Like, they're exhausting every opportunity they can. They're going to do what they can, right? Like, I don't hate them for it. They're just doing what they got to do.
That's it. And what I was going to say earlier, too, and I just forgot. Like, that's why you have insurance, though.
Yeah.
Because things like that do happen.
Yeah.
Like, if the government's going to require you to keep insurance, then that insurance shouldn't be taking you to court. Pay for the fucking shit.
Yeah.
You guys are making money hand over fist. Get bent.
Yeah. So
I hate insurance companies. I hate them.
That's how you handle various changes in the work, right?
You
pause and you go back to the customer and you readdress the situation. So you're always presenting price before the work is done. Lastly, we want to talk about how to transition from time and material to flat rate. And I could give you all of these long-winded, boring answers about it, but ultimately the fastest way to transition from time and material to flat rate.
You buy a Tradewinds price book and you start using it.
Well,
That's the fastest way to do it.
Yeah. So
guys, they're $250 and you own it forever.
Yeah.
It's an Excel spreadsheet.
You could sign up for like Profit Rhino for $150 a month, and then you're spending boatloads of money every month to have flat rate, or you could buy the Tradewinds price book for $250 and you own it. And we give you all the videos for how to implement it and everything else.
Yeah. And it's yours forever.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay us a monthly fee.
And you own it. You can edit it. You don't have to wait for the vendor to edit it and all of that stuff. Like, literally the one leg up that Profit Rhino has over our Tradewinds price book. And I don't like this leg up. Like, I don't agree with it. The one leg up is they automatically update the parts pricing 4 times a year. But they're not updating it based off of what you're paying for parts. They're updating it based off of, like, industry averages.
I was just about to say, so how do you know, like, if your pricing isn't to that or is over that, do you then have to go in and edit it one line at a time or call them and say, hey, no, that's not going
to
work?
Yeah. And in the Tradewinds price book, we tell everybody exactly how to get your parts updated for less than an hour of time and about 4 emails back and forth.
Yeah,
and your whole price book gets updated automatically.
Let's talk about that just for a second. So we're working on an HVAC price book, which is essentially done. I'm just waiting for you to do whatever you're going to do. Like, I didn't upload it like we talk about for the plumbing one. I literally sat down and wanted to verify pricing. And so in 3 hours, I hand entered everything in there because I wanted to make sure that everything was correct the first time out of the gate. literally, I did it the hardest way possible, and it took less than 3 hours.
Yeah.
To update my pricing line item by line item.
Yeah.
It's not difficult.
No.
Like, you do not need someone doing it for you. It's fucking easy.
Yeah, it's real easy.
It's super easy.
And you regain total control over your pricing. You're not letting your pricing subject to somebody else.
Well, and let's be honest, like, a price book is one of those things that if there are things in there you don't use that often, and then you force yourself to go through there line by line, you become very aware of what's in that price book and what you're using.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one of those things that is just constant education to make sure you're on top of things.
Yeah.
And it literally took me less than 3 hours.
Yeah.
It keeps
you in touch with things.
Yeah.
So as you're transitioning over, it's not the hard part with, like, we've made it simple with the TradeWinds price book for the logistical reasons, like how to transition over. Like, it's friggin' easy.
Well, and we're not trying to BF a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The biggest challenge that you're going to have transitioning from time and material to flat rate is your mental state, is your mentality around customer pricing. And so the easiest way to overcome that hurdle is take some fucking pride in your work. Like, you've done this for 20 years.
Yeah. You shouldn't be doing it for $25 an hour, guys.
Right. Be proud of what you've done. Be proud of the knowledge you've gained. Be proud of the speed that comes with that knowledge.
Yeah.
Be proud of the fact that you've learned how to be really efficient and charge accordingly for it. Stop giving customers discounts because you're fast at your job.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I've never seen somebody get the bill from a heart surgery and be like, wow, look, the doctor gave me a 25% discount because he beat the clock on how long. He said it was going to be an 8-hour surgery, and it turned into 6 hours, and so we got a discount.
I do not want him rushing through that surgery.
And she put I want
that shit to take twice as long.
Right.
Like, you know, like,
pull me out for a couple days.
Yeah, take your time, sir.
Yeah.
You do whatever you got to do, man.
Yeah, the doctor's bill factors in the fact that they're going to be going slow, and they're going to be using you to train other people and all of that. Like, it's all just factored in, right?
Yeah.
And so, and now doctors and roofers have it really fucking easy because the insurance company's paying 90% of that bill. But still,
we're not going to talk about that. That's a whole nother thing for a whole nother
day. But really, that's all it takes to transition over is to start taking some pride in your work.
Yeah.
And
realize you're worth the pay.
The guys that are hung up on the fact, like, there are guys that will give this objection in your a moron if you give this objection.
I guarantee I saw this today.
There are guys that will be like, I can't do flat rate because that overcharges customers on the easy jobs. Okay.
No, it doesn't. You can literally say, just because you're at $4.50 a task hour doesn't mean you charge $4.50 a task hour. Like, if it's a flapper, you charge 0.10 of a task.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're not charging minimum hours, but what they're saying is, like, in the Jiffy Lube comparison, Jiffy Lube's not changing the price, whether it takes 12 minutes or an hour and 12 minutes to get your oil change done. The price is the price, right?
Yeah.
And so what they're saying is, I don't want to overcharge the 12-minute customer. Well, the 12-minute customer was willing to pay X amount of dollars for X amount of work, regardless of how long it took. And so you're literally taking pride in your work by charging accordingly for that, right?
Agree.
And you can always give discounts. You can always, like for us in our company, flappers are barter. My guys know that they can give away flappers for free. We even have, like, a very small, minuscule task for flappers.
Come
that's
over
like,
and change out my flappers, man. I've been there 4 years. They're due. Mm-hmm. Come over and change out my shit.
We have a task that pays 0.1 hour. So it pays them 6 minutes to change out a flapper. I think the price comes out to like $56. Right. And so if you're a plumber, you've all been in that scenario where it's like $300 to change a flapper that costs $5. Oh my God, that's ripping me off. Right. Well, that's the only thing you're doing at a customer's house.
To charge them.
You have to charge them, but it can also be kind of perceived as a ripoff, right?
But if you're doing a bunch of other stuff, you add that on for free.
Yeah. I'm
not going to charge you for this. And guess what? You just want a customer for life.
Exactly. So. Exactly.
And like, if there's a case where you way overbid the job and they accept it and you're like 3 or 4 hours, I mean, this is kind of like my philosophy. Like, of course, I'm in a different like business, but if I bid it for this amount of task hours, and it took me like, you know, I was done like that. I'm like, okay, maybe I can go back and be like, hey.
Yeah. You can always go back and offer the discount.
Yeah. Or
if you want.
Yeah. Or if you're like,
or if they were dicks, you just charge them full amount.
Or if it's a thing of like, maybe if you were still kind of getting a gauge on pricing, and you notice the last 20 water heater installs, they're finishing it in an hour and a half and not 2.5 hours. I'm just like
you're just using it as an example. Well,
yeah, and you're like, okay, maybe I need to bring it down.
But here's the thing. Your last 20 water heater installs, if you're finishing it in an hour and a half instead of 2.5 hours, that's your fucking money. Mm-hmm. The reason you finished it in an hour and a half is because you showed up with a water heater on your truck. You showed up with all the tools on your truck. Mm-hmm. You showed up with the right tools. You showed up with the right equipment. So you can't ever be in a position of, it didn't take me that long. Mm-hmm. Because you're ignoring and forgetting all of the other time you've spent to be well prepared for that, yeah. Right? That's that whole luck is where preparation meets opportunity. Yeah. We weren't lucky to get the water heater done in an hour and a half. We were prepared for the opportunity to get a water heater done in an hour and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I guess my thing was more of a hypothetical perspective. If it was like 20 water heaters and it was like you were still adjusting pricing and then you realize that like, you know, you were...
Yeah, if you're just new into setting your pricing, that makes sense.
Yeah, but ultimately, it still comes down to what's the value, what's the customer willing to pay for that item, mm-hmm. and charge that, and then figure out how to make money at that charge.
Yeah.
That's where it comes in. And so on the time and material piece, you don't have the option to what's the customer willing to pay. It's however long it takes me. And if I'm fast, I'm shooting myself in the foot on my pricing.
I think
because I'm not charging enough.
For me on the flat rate pricing, of course I'm in a different industry. I'm in the video creation content kind of area, but one of the reasons why I did flat rate pricing and I still do is because it's a lot easier to explain to the customer, because they ask questions like, well, how much do you charge if you come out for 3 hours? And then is that the same price you charge for editing? And then like, do I pay for this many photos? And it makes it easier for you to
just go in there and be like, okay, I'm here for 3 hours. This is my price.
Yeah.
This is what you get.
I don't even include an hour time anymore. I'm just like, if I do your family photos and it takes me 20 minutes, because I get myself in this bind where I'm like, okay, we'll do for 2 hours. And I have 300 photos and we've been out there for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, do I want to stay out here just because I'm obligated to stay out here?
Right. That's a good
point. The whole purpose of flat rate pricing is to remove time from the equation, mm-hmm. because time is what you've gained with experience. Mm-hmm. So don't give that away. Time is the most precious commodity in the world. The last thing you want to do is give it away.
I mean, like, it doesn't mean I totally disregard time. I just don't communicate it. Cause like for me, I'm like, okay, well in the editing of 5 minute videos, it's probably gonna take me this long. So,
right.
But then I kind of factor in a little bit of uncertainties, but like, I don't want to go overboard.
Yeah.
Cause there's some people that I know that are really disorganized and they're like, okay, when can you guarantee this? And how much do you charge? I'm like, well, I know this person's usually kind of annoying to deal with. And so I'm going to, and an extra hour just dealing with this. Oh, I thought I sent it over. Yeah. Did you get all the files? Let me try to send it again.
You run into that in all industries. You're going to have those customers that need extra attention, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to have that customer that calls you up four weeks after you were there and says, do you have that pipe that broke in my house? My insurance is asking for it. That pipe that broke left the truck within like 3 days after we were there.
Yeah. You're lucky that I even answered the phone.
Yeah. Like
it's gone.
Yeah. It's just part of like, you're going to have those nuisance customers. Flat rate pricing helps eliminate even that. Right.
Some of them.
Because then you're going to be like, how much do you charge to haul it off? How much do you charge to bring me the new heater? How much? It's all included.
Yeah.
Lady, it's
mm-hmm. it's over.
Total package.
Yeah.
Right. So, we'll throw some links in the description of this show for how to purchase the Tradewinds price book, but also another link for the tutorial video that kind of shows you how the Tradewinds price book works. We'll put both of those links in the description of this show. And, guys, if you have any questions about flat rate pricing or anything like that, give you a couple of emails here. You can email me. I'm Mitch@TradeWindsConsulting.com, or you can email David@TradeWindsConsulting.com.
So easy.
And Tradewinds Consulting, it's TradeWinsConsulting.com. Like winning in the trades.
Yeah.
Trade wins, not blowing winds that blow. So
flowing winds that blow, yeah. Dude.
It's a weird thing to explain. So.
Because a logo has a ship, and so you think, oh, it's wind. It's being moved by wind.
Yeah.
No, you'll see this. If you just Google Tradewinds Consulting, we're the top one.
Yeah. Like, but you gotta auto, like, it's gonna auto correct it to Tradewinds with a D, yeah. And we are Tradewinds.
Even when the D's there, we still are the ones that come up.
Okay.
Well, I actually searched it one time, and there's like three or four people have trade wins. Like,
yeah,
but they're like one's publishing, one is like there's some other weird stuff. Not to get into everything else. Not to get into SEO.
Shoot us some questions if you have them. If you have questions about how to transition over, how to transition your team over, how to get your head in the right spot, all of that stuff, we are here for you. So until next time, guys, we will see you later.
Love you guys.